Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC. Welcome to our Cubs Talk podcast on NBC Sports Chicago, NBCSportsChicago.com. With Luke Stuckmeyer, Tony Andracki, I'm David Kaplan, and everything, as always, brought to you by our great friends at Wintrust, home of Cubs checking. Okay, so yesterday I shot a text to our boss, John Shipman. I said, okay, we got to get the boys together because Scott Boras went on Michael Kay and said, oh, the deal's already done. We know where Bryce is going, and we just want him to hear it from you and not from Scott. No shot that's accurate because he hasn't even filed for free agency yet, right?
Yeah, I mean, that seems a little...
It's them trolling.
Yeah.
Don't you think? They do. 100%. I mean, Bryce already does it. Why would Boras not chime in? Plus, yeah. I mean, Boras is a troll anyway. Not, like, that's what he does. He's talked about this before. He loves the meet the parents comments and Jake Arrieta with, the squirrel with his nuts. Like, yeah. All these things. Boras lives for this. Bryce Harper lives for this, and it's a lot of fun to watch.
I heard Boras was dressed up as Wrigley Field for Halloween.
That would not surprise me.
He's dressed up in all ivy.
That would not surprise me. So do you guys believe the Chicago Cubs will be a candidate, major candidate, for Bryce Harper?
Yes, definitely. I think they have to do their due diligence, to use one of Theo Epstein's favorite phrases, on Harper, on Manny Machado, on Josh Donaldson, pretty much any of the top hitters, because this is what they want. They have to redo their offense. This is what everybody's been saying. I don't think things have changed in the month since they've been knocked out of the playoffs. And Bryce Harper gives them the best chance to redo their offense next year, so they'll absolutely be in on him. I think they just have to be.
So what the question is really, what teams will be in on him? Actually be in on him. Today I heard Yankees and Dodgers. Can you imagine him in left field for the Yankees? The amount of home runs that team would hit in New York?
The Yankee outfield has Stanton plays some. Judge plays out there. Aaron Hicks plays out there.
They could let Gardner go and add.
Gardner, I believe, is either a free agent or has options. But Jacoby Ellsbury has $21 million still owed. Obviously, would have to either be an outfielder or a DH. And then, Clint Frazier, their promising young outfielder coming up as well. They have four outfielders, not even including Ellsbury, to play out there and to fill in the DH spot. So it would be really difficult to see Harper going there. But, I mean, then again, the Cubs have a slew of outfielders as well.
Yeah, and the Yankees don't seem to care about that stuff.
No.
They don't care about money.
They haven't gone over luxury tax in a long time.
No, that's true.
It's really scary how much money the Yankees have to spend this winter. It's very scary. I think they're like 12th or 13th in terms of payroll committed in 2019 already next year. It's nuts.
Kershaw's free agent, right?
If he opts out, he's got 3 days.
What if he ends up with the Yankees? Maybe they just go stockpiling pitching.
Could. They need pitching.
Yeah.
They need pitching. He hasn't been healthy. His back has been an issue. Are you going to write a big, huge check to him?
Again, if it's the Yankees, maybe. I just don't want him to go. I'm fine with him re-signing with the Dodgers. I'd prefer he not go to, like, the Brewers.
See, but I couldn't see the Brewers paying him that kind of money.
Agreed.
For the same logic you just said about the Yankees.
So, Bryce Harper, I heard the Phillies.
That's supposed to be number one now.
Number one. The Cubs, another poll has him them number one. The Yankees will be in there. The Dodgers will be in there. I'm sure the Nationals will still try and play at that end of the pool. But would you sign Bryce Harper if I told you it's 10 years, opt out after three, opt out after six, and the total value is $350
million? His opt out or the team's opt out?
His.
Wow, that's a lot of years. No.
I mean, I would, but I really don't think he's going to get $350 million. I don't think either of these guys, him or Machado, I mean, are going to get that much. It just seems too crazy to me. I just can't imagine that they would get that far after we saw the market get depressed so much in terms of salary and years and overall money on deals last year. I feel like that's going to carry over at least somewhat this week.
But you're talking about two 26-year-old superstars. We're not talking about 31-year-old
pitchers.
No, they're in
their prime. They're exactly what Theo talks about. You want players in their prime. You don't want a guy, you don't want to sign him at 30. 26 is a big difference.
I mean, the Cubs outfield was Hayward, Hap Elmora, Schwarber. Can you imagine if your outfield is Chris Bryant in left, Hayward in center, Bryce Harper in right?
Yeah, it significantly upgrades your outfield.
Big time.
Offensively.
So, Cap, are you coming around a little bit more to the Bryce Harper to Chicago?
I am not, because I would not pay anyone north of $300 million. I would not. When you still have to sign Rizzo eventually to an extension.
Right.
Chris Bryant, Javi Baez, Wilson Contreras. I mean, you got a lot of guys you got to pay a
Kyle
lot of
Hendricks.
Money to.
He's Kyle Hendricks. He's coming up in a couple of years.
And you're going to have to replace. At some point, you're going to have to replace, not this year, but Lester is going to have to be replaced. Right? You're going to have
correct.
It's not like, first of all, the farm system is going to have to come through. I was wondering as I watched late last night, I was thinking at the end of the World Series, how much do you think, if at all, Manny Machado impacted his value this postseason?
Well, there's an article today, I think John Heyman wrote it, that said that he talked to another executive, a GM, who said he believes it cost him $100 million.
Wow.
That he's 200 to 225 as opposed to 300 to 325.
Maybe he wasn't going to get 325 in the first place. Who Maybe. Knows? I mean, these guys, so they are 26, but they have their warts, so to speak. I mean, Machado, the hustling, and the way they are in the clubhouse. I mean, Cap, it was a couple podcasts ago that you were talking about the guy you talked to that believes that Harper's out for himself. I think these guys, there's enough negatives that teams are going to look at this and be like, yeah, I just don't know if I can go over $300 million on these guys.
Like, if Mike Trout was a free agent, I get it.
Right.
He's got the whole package.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and what, even if the Cubs would sign him, then what happens to Brizzo? Do they have to break up?
If they sign Harper?
Yeah,
because
I mean, that's his bro. All of a sudden, all of a sudden, Rizzo is the third wheel on
you
that.
You could just keep it Brizzo and the BRYs, Bryant and Bryce.
Oh.
That's a good point, Tony.
Yeah.
Maybe it does make sense.
It makes perfect sense. It's already happened. I mean, Boris said it. It's already happened.
Brizzo to the second power is what that would be.
Okay, so if they don't get Harper, they don't play in the Machado sweepstakes, what do you do then to upgrade your offense?
Donaldson, I think, is a good possibility. There's actually a decent amount
you
of guys.
You play him
there.
At third.
You would play him at
play
third.
Play Bryant in the outfield.
Just like you
trade
want. Yeah.
And what I said was, sign him if he's healthy, clears all the medicals. He's at third. Bryant's in left.
Then you're trading Schwarber
and Russell. I'm trading Schwarber
and
something to go get Whit Merrifield, my second baseman.
Javi's your shortstop.
Javi's my shortstop.
Russell's gone.
Correct. And then I'm using Zobrist in the last year of his deal, super utility, split some time with Hayward.
Keeping Elmora.
And Hap too, right?
I might put him in a deal.
So Elmora would play every day in center field, basically. Or maybe Hayward moves over, Zobrist plays right kind of thing.
Could just have a collection of guys out there.
Dang. So who are you getting back? So Whit Merrifield, I know. But if you're giving up Hap, Schwarber, who else are you getting back?
Trying to add pitching.
So maybe
pitching,
a reliever
pitching,
too?
Pitching. Got to add pitching. Well, I need bullpen help, big time. I need high leverage pitching.
You need another closer type guy.
Somebody that if Brandon Morrow can't pitch,
right?
I got someone else I can hand the ball to. So if the back end of my bullpen is Brandon Morrow and Pedro Strop, I'm not so sure about Carl Edwards. They need a lefty, big time. Lockdown lefty. You've got to find somewhere to get that.
It's going to be fun. I think this is going to be one of the best off seasons for Cubs fans.
I think we're going
to watch what's going on. Other years, it's just been kind of like, I think we always expected that one of the core guys they were going to trade for a starter. We always thought Javi or Schwarber or somebody was finally going to get traded, but this is the off season where it finally happens.
I think we're going to be sitting at our desks in the newsroom, and one of us is going to yell, yo, did you guys see this? The Cubs just traded so-and-so and got back so-and-so.
I thought it was interesting when I looked today at an online ranking, and it had the teams going into the postseason after the World Series. They had the Astros 1 for going into the offseason, Yankees 2, Dodgers 3, Red Sox 4. But it was the next few teams that surprised me. They had the Braves at 5.
Mm-hmm.
They had the Indians, who are running out of time with Lindor before he's gone, and then who knows what happens to that team. Brewers ahead of the Cubs, and the Cubs just ahead of the Rays.
They have the Atlanta Braves, the fifth best team in baseball?
Yeah.
That's surprising.
Now, they do have some really good young players.
But we've seen with the Cubs that young players doesn't always equate to
success,
regular season or postseason.
That's true, except for 2016 worked out pretty well.
That's true, yeah.
All right, we got to take a timeout. We'll come back. More to do on our Cubs Talk podcast. We're talking off-season, where this might be headed for the Chicago Cubs with Tony and Luke. Up Cap, we'll be right back to you.
Cubs authentic fans, the My Teams app by NBC Sports is your home for Cubs highlights, articles, and more. For the best Cubs coverage anytime, anywhere, download the My Teams app today.
Welcome back to our Cubs Talk podcast here on NBC Sports Chicago and NBCSportsChicago.com. It's all brought to you by our great friends at Wintrust, home of Cubs checking, and that really sweet WATM card. Tony Andracki, Luke Stuckmeyer, I'm David Kaplan. Okay, so we talked about Bryce Harper. Would you sign Manny Machado if the number was reasonable, or did he so turn you off, Luke, that you want no part?
The number would have to be very, very, very reasonable. Now, the only reason I would say I am turned off, and I would rather have Harper than Machado, and I wasn't that way going into the postseason, so it turned me off enough that I flipped on. If I was taking one of those two guys, now I'd go Harper instead of Machado, only because I thought, well, you could still put him at short or third or wherever. There's more places to put him on the team that makes sense. But the only thing that keeps me from being totally turned off on him is that everything I've ever heard is that his teammates in Baltimore loved him. Now, he may have done some stuff that you really don't like, and I think that's the case. I'm not too big about saying I'm not a hustle guy. I don't care.
I'm not Johnny Hustle.
Yeah, I'm not Johnny Hustle. Great. It's going to have to be way less than I thought. And if we're saying in the first segment, oh, that might have cost him $100 million. All right, if it was at...
If that can be believed.
But let's say he was not going to get 300, as Tony suggests, and it was more like 275, 250. What if you cut it down another 100 from there? I don't think that's ever possible, because I think
so. He'd be making less than Jason Hayward at that.
I think
that's
some,
tough.
I think there's enough teams that are like, you know what? We'll deal with anything. We want to win.
Yeah.
So
because he did, as much as everything you're talking about, all these warts and everything we're discussing, he definitely made the Dodgers better. He absolutely did. From the minute that he got to L.A.
They don't make the postseason without him, do they?
Possibly not. Yeah, they certainly don't make the World Series without him. So he's that good of a player that, okay, yeah, if he doesn't hustle a ton or whatever. And like you said, Luke, I mean, there's a lot of guys that love him inside the clubhouse. How many guys liked A.J. Pierzynski from the opponent's team?
Right.
You know, but people loved him whenever he played. And obviously fans loved him here. It was a little bit different in terms of, I don't think Pierzynski ever really didn't hustle. But
no,
still,
he,
like,
he was
it
the
looks
opposite.
Bad.
Yeah.
Right. It looks bad, and I get that, but it's just an image. It just looks bad. It doesn't mean he's bad.
Having said that, I think I'm out because I don't think the price would ever match what I think he'd be worth.
I probably agree with that. He did turn me off with his immaturity. He did. That's just a
although
fact.
Although Harper's had moments, I guess not as many recently, but Harper's had moments in his career when he was younger too.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't expect it from Manny Machado. Like I said, I'd only heard good things about him in Baltimore and how he's going to get this huge contract, great player, and then he gets on the biggest stage and he kind of lays it there.
He does. I mean, you were at tie games in LCS or World Series, and he's not hustling down to first.
Yeah, that was the only one. I didn't really care about the NLCS hustle, but the double where he – or it could have been a double, but he pimped it or whatever. He basically pulled the Wilson Contreras and took him like 7 seconds to get down to first, and he couldn't even get to second. That really bugged me because that's a one-run game in the World Series. I know you tweeted about it, Cap, but that actually was like made me question something about this guy. But, I mean, again, that's also one play and kind of a snapshot or whatever. He still got a hit and hit the ball 395 feet. So
He brings some swagger to the team.
He brings some swagger.
But I think they have plenty of swagger. Again, I mean, with Javi and Contreras. They've got plenty of guys that have swagger.
Okay, so Rizzo's healthy. Does that still ramp up the urgency? Not Rizzo, Bryant. Ramp up your urgency? You have to get a big bat, or can you win with the team as currently constructed?
You can win with the team. I think the biggest thing that could happen to the Cubs this offseason would be, number one, Chris Bryant, totally healthy and back. Number two is questionable. It's either Wilson Contreras goes back to being a guy you think can be like the best catcher in baseball, or it's Yu Darvish pitches like a real number one.
That's huge.
It's one of those two. So, unfortunately, that's the way this whole season went. We kept sitting on these podcasts saying, listen, only two of these three things need to happen. Quintana, Hendricks, and Darvish, two of the three need to come back and pitch.
And Brandon Morrow.
And Morrow needs to be healthy. Or Bryant needs to come back, like just this combination.
Or Wilson Contreras needs to show up.
We're still sort of in that situation. They have the pieces, but they have to be coming together and working together at the same time. That's what happened in 2016. They hit on all cylinders at one time. This year, they hit on one cylinder, Javi Baez. And the rest of the team was sputtering at different times throughout the year.
Right. Rizzo started slow, finished strong.
Every pitcher.
Bryant started strong, finished slow.
Lester started hot, didn't do as well in the second half. Morrow didn't exist.
Hendricks struggled early, finished strong.
Yeah. So, I mean, they have the pieces. It's just a matter of if you add another one, does it help improve your odds? And the answer is yes.
For me, they also have to fix the back end of their bullpen. They have to.
Definitely, yeah.
They got to get a lockdown lefty, whether that's Andrew Miller or somebody else. Zach Britton.
What they need, I think they just need guys coming up from the minors. Like, they just haven't had that. No. Look at the Red Sox, the Dodgers, any of these teams. Eventually, guys start coming up and get big outs. If it's, you know, Eduardo Rodriguez for the Red Sox. Or Brock Holt even coming up as a position player. But they need pitchers to start coming up through the system and be able to get outs for them in September and October. We're still talking about Dylan Maples, and he hasn't really realized his potential. Nobody else. I mean, Albert Alzolay, I know he had that lat injury that kind of affected him, but they just don't have the guys coming up that suddenly can help them out if C.J. Edwards is, you know, has a blister issue or whatever was affecting him there. Any of these other guys, it's just not there, and they need that in 2018 or 2019.
That was the plan Theo and Jed had in building the team, though. They knew they were going to go heavy on prospects offensively, build the offense, and through free agency filter in and get your starters and your relievers that way. But have the pitchers that they've tried to develop since then been at a slower rate getting to the majors than they expected?
100%.
Now, right?
100%.
They did plan it. They won the World Series the way they did it. They built all of their stars through hitting, and they filtered in with Lester and some pitchers. But now in stage two of trying to build this into a, you know, perennial, the pitchers haven't come up through the system yet.
And after bringing Ian Happ up, they haven't really had a position player. I mean, David Bodie had his moments, but he's still a 230-something hitter.
Right.
You know, people got a little too carried away on the David Bodie train for me. I don't see him as a starter on a championship team right now.
I don't think he's a starter. I just think he's a valuable role player, and I think they need that. I think 2016 proved it. But Bodie's a good example of the Brock Holt type of guy that you're talking about. You plug him in against a lefty or in the postseason, like, you could see him having some moments, but they still don't have that with the pitcher. I mean, C.J. Edwards was the last guy, quote-unquote, that they've brought up, pitcher from the minors.
They acquired him. They didn't draft him.
No. Right, right.
And he hasn't necessarily lived up to his full expectations.
Agreed. Totally agree.
So, I mean, you do see other teams. You see the Dodgers bring him a guy, and you're like, whoa.
Walker Buehler.
Where did
Buehler come
a great
from?
Example.
Even the guys, the Brewers, have slowly started to develop. And you kind of watch these pitchers, and you think, when is that guy coming for the Cubs? And I don't know. So I guess it's got to be free agency.
Yeah, they've got to do a better job at harvesting their minor league talent. Have to. 100%.
Tough, though. They traded away a lot of it to try and get where they are, which you get the ring, that was the goal. But all now, right. Phase two.
So last thing, bold prediction, not kidding around like we did on our last one.
I got a lot of good comments about that. They liked your Ronnie woo-woo. Every bold prediction you had, Cap. I had a couple friends text me, and they loved that.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Okay, do they sign Bryce Harper or Manny Machado?
Manny Machado. no shot, as you like to say. Mm-hmm. Bryce Harper, no.
I still think Bryce Harper. I'm going to do that until he signs somewhere else. I'm going to say Bryce Harper to the Cubs until he signs with the Phillies or whatever else.
All right. I'm going to say with Luke, they don't sign either one.
So where's their big where's their big offseason move going to be? Because I don't believe this team is just going to stand pat and go with the same guys and be like, just a minor tweak here or there. I do think some big change is coming. So if it's not Bryce Harper, where does that big impact player come from?
The guy we've talked about before, Josh Donaldson, would be an awesome plan B if you can't get these guys. Obviously, 2018 didn't go the way he wanted, but Donaldson's numbers have been phenomenal. This is a guy that was like 90-plus walks every year, plays awesome defense at third. I know he's aging and stuff, and calf injuries have been kind of questionable for him, but power, right-handed bat, could move Bryant to the outfield. Donaldson would be an awesome plan B if they can't get one of those top two.
Good in the clubhouse, too.
Yeah.
And you'd have some flexibility. Let's say he has injury problems. All right, well, you always have Bryant that can fill in at third. You always have Javi that can go over and play some third. You have Bodie that can play some third. So if he needs to take it slow some points because he's getting a little bit older, they do have the flexibility for a player just like that.
And he would be probably a guy that would only sign a 3 or 4 year deal, given that he's 32, I think, going into the free agency. Quite a bit different than the age 26 guy we're talking about.
Well, if you got him, played him at third, Bryant goes to left.
Kyle Schwarber to Kansas City.
Put him in a package to go get Whit Merrifield.
And then they're good enough.
That's a pretty good team.
It's just a matter of waiting to see where all these players go because it's a pretty good free agent crop this year. That's what makes it even more fun. Not only do a lot of teams have needs, there's a lot of guys ready to go.
All right, guys, it's always fun. I'm sure we'll be talking again later in the week. And keep your ears peeled for Scott Boras stuff. He always likes the
tour. Rest in Wrigley Field, Ivy.
That's exactly right. Hey, for Tony Andracki, Luke Stockmeyer, I'm David Kaplan. Thank you to our great partners at Wintrust. We'll talk to you soon.